ready to resume? Okay, so we have future participle in nia. Okay, so the future participle, this has the meaning of what should be done, what must be done, what could be done. So some examples. Always good to have examples. So pujaniya, one who should be respected or worshipped or given offerings. So when we chant the Mangala Sutta, puja cha pujaniyanang, puja means worship, puja cha pujaniyanang, to those who are worthy of worship. Karaniyang atta kusalena metta sutta. Karaniyang, what should be done. Karaniyang atta kusalena, by one who is skilled in the good. And then the word kadaniyang originally means should be, what should be eaten, but then it comes to take on the meaning of food in general. Khadaniyang and bhojaniyang, they're two classes of food. Bhojaniyang, I don't know why, but they classify grains, meat, fish under bhojaniyang, and khadaniyang, all sorts of vegetables, fruits, nuts, yams, go under khadaniyang. So you just have to recognize when you see the nia ending that it's a future passive participle, or we call this optative participle, just like the optative verb means one should do, one must do, one can do. So the optative participle means what should be done, what might be done, what can be done. Dattabang, what should be given. Vasi tabang, what should be said, what should be spoken. Okay, then we come to causative verbs. Okay, the causative verbs are formed from the regular verb, the simple verb, often by strengthening a vowel in the original verb, and then by inserting, in place of the short A, inserting the E. So it's easy to see this from the examples. So they give the example, otarati. Otarati means to descend, to go down. So to form the causative, to put down, to make go down, we strengthen the vowel A by turning it into the long A from T to TA. And then for the stem of the verb, instead of the short A, we have the E. So otareti is to cause to go down. Okay, here we have jalati means to burn. And so to form the causative, to cause to burn, or to light a fire. We strengthen the vowel A, so it becomes ja. And then in the stem or base of the verb, instead of the short A, we have E. So ja leti. Then we have the verb pavatati. Now you might think to make the causative, we should have pavatati. But we don't lengthen the A here because the base of this verb has two T's. It has a double consonant. And when there's a double consonant, then we don't have a long vowel preceding it. Because a double consonant makes a syllable heavy or strong. And so the syllable is already strong because of the double consonant. And so if you if you use the long vowel, it becomes too heavy. And so, but we still change the vowel in the base from A to E. So we have pavateti. Pavatati means literally to roll, but it also takes on the meaning to occur, to proceed. Pavateti is to cause to roll or to set in motion. So when the Buddha starts to teach, when he gives his first teaching, it's said that Dhammacakkam pavateti, he turns the wheel of the Dharma. Okay, some verbs, a few verbs, form the causative by adding P and the suffix E to verb stems ending in a long A. I think it should be verb roots ending in a long A. For example, we have the root ta, which means to stand. To exist, to stand. And so from this we get the regular verb titati, to stand, to exist. Then we can form the causative, which to cause to stand, or to put or to place, tapeti. Then we have the verb dati or dadati, meaning to give. And then to the root da, to form the causative, we add the P and the E, da peti, to cause to give. So the father sometimes, or mother, will tell her child, give the rice to the Buddha. So that's da peti, to cause to give. And still another way to form the causative is to use the infix to insert into the verb A-P-E. So here we have, look at the examples. Nisidati means to sit. Nisidapeti is to cause to seat, to sit, to invite to a seat. Vadati is to speak. Vadapeti is to make somebody speak. I wish they gave more examples, but here's a rule. Go down to the second paragraph here. Where it says, most commonly, if the verb from which the causative is formed is intransitive, oh, I wish they gave some examples. The causative verb is transitive, and if the basic verb is transitive, the causative means to get someone to do it. Let us skip over this. You just have to recognize the verb forms when you come across them. It's too abstract, the explanation. Okay, we'll go to prepositions and postpositions. So we've already had several examples of this. So a preposition is a word a word that is added at the beginning of another word to give a special sense. So the preposition anto means within or inside. So for the example they give here, antogamang means inside the village. So antogamang pavisati means to go into the village. Nivesana is a house. So anto nivesanang gato. This is a bahubihi compound, or it's a compound, meaning one who has gone into the house. Anto nagari means within the city. Okay, then there are something called postpositions. Postposition is a word that goes after another word and gives a special meaning to that other word. Okay, so one of these is pataya. Originally, pataya was a gerund, meaning starting from, setting out from. But it comes to function like an adverb, meaning beginning with, and it takes the ablative. And so we have ajato pataya, from today onward. Ito pataya, from here, from now onward. Tatopataya, from then onward. Nisaya has the meaning of because of, depending upon. So we have, for example, and it always comes after a noun, and it gives a special meaning to that noun. So, idang kamang nisaya, because of this action, because of this karma, dhanang nisaya, because of this wealth. Again, we just have to be able to recognize this when we come across it in the reading. Then heta may function either as a preposition or as a postposition. So as a postposition, it will usually take the genitive. So we have rukasa heta, means beneath the tree. If it functions, that's a postposition. If it functions as a preposition or preposition, then we have something like heta manchang, beneath the bed, underneath the bed. Any questions? No. Okay, then sometimes we have words, especially words indicating place or time, which are duplicated. Often pronouns are duplicated to give a distributive sense or to turn a specific statement into a generalization. So the examples I give here, tatta tatta, it's literally there and there. So it means all over, everywhere. Tada tada can mean then and then. In other words, at any time. Ichita ichitani means all of the things that are desired, whatever things are desired. So ichita means desired, and by repeating ichita ichita, it means all of the various things that are desired. Okay, now we come to this word adi and its variations. Adini, this is the case. This is the changing according to whether it's masculine, neuter, or feminine. But adi originally means the beginning, the start. But it's used in Pali, particularly in the commentaries, the way we use etc. in English, that means beginning with. So, for example, when a commentary is giving some explanation about the five aggregates, we might get rupadi, anicca, dukkha, viparinama, dhamma. So, form, etc., are impermanent, suffering, subject to change. So instead of having to say form, feeling, perception, it'll just say rupadi, and the reader will know that since the first member of the five aggregates is mentioned, all the five aggregates are implied. For example, suppose if the text is speaking about the different kinds of contact, so where we have chaku sampasso, like eye contact, it might say chaku sampasadi, so it means eye contact and so on. So we understand that ear contact, nose contact, all of the others are implied. Or chaku vinyanadi, eye consciousness, and so on. So this is very, very common in the commentary. Okay, here's an example I just found. It's explaining a phrase that occurs in the sutta. Indriyanang paripako, which is literally the ripeness of the sense faculties. Or it really means that the sense faculties are getting overripe or they're decaying. The decay of the sense faculties. So here I highlighted Chuk Adini Indriyanang Jarang Patasa Paripakani Aluli Tani Avisadani, etc. So it's speaking about the sense faculties, starting with Chaku. And then with Adini, the U drops off, and it just keeps Adini. So the sense faculties, the eye, and so forth, when they reach old age, then they become paripaka, over-mature, alulitani, I'm not sure exactly the meaning of this, avisadani, unclear, unsharp.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
When do you use Adayo instead of Adini?
When do you use what?
Adayo.
Adayo. That would be Adayo. I think that would be the feminine plural. Adini is neuter plural. Adi would be the masculine plural. I think Adayo, I think, is feminine plural.
So it depends on the word before Adi?
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's masculine, feminine, or neuter. Okay, here's another example explaining what's meant by the form depending on the four great elements. So it says, Yani cha shatari patavi adini mahabhutani. Actually, here it depends on the word that comes after the noun that's being qualified. So here we have the four, because the four great elements are neuter plural. And so it mentions the first one, Patavi, Adini, the earth element, earth, and so forth. So the four great elements, earth, and so on.
What does Yani mean?
Excuse me?
Yani. What does that mean?
Yani. Yani is the relative pronoun, those which. So thus, everywhere, in every case, those which are the four great elements, beginning earth and so on, and that which is the yang here goes with rupang, the form depending upon the four great elements. Okay, let us move on. So we've already come across examples of the use of adi in the stories, the reading passages that we came across. So here they give, in the story about the boy who was shooting the slingshot to make the shapes of the animals out of the leaves. So we have hati rupa kadini. So here we have shapes of elephants and so on. Or in the example of different ways of earning a living, different livelihoods, kasi gorakadini. Kasi is agriculture, farming. Goraka is livestock cultivation, bringing up cattle, and so on. Okay, now we come one note on a Sunday. When a form, a word beginning in U, follows a word ending in A, the result may be O. So they form the Sunday O. Particularly when they are closely joined in a compound. So we have, as the example given here, Unha means warm, and it's joined with udakang, meaning water. So here we get a compound, unhodakang, meaning warm water. Often, when the short A is followed by another vowel, often the short A drops out, and the other vowel, the stronger vowel, will remain. So I guess in theory one can have udaka, warm water, but I guess through common usage, the U and the A are combined to make O, unhodaka. Okay, then number 11, they give an explanation of this compound, katapunyo. And the spelling here should be corrected. There's a typographical error. It should be katapunyo, P-U-N-N. Both N's have the wiggle on top, O. And this is a compound in which the first element is a participle followed by a noun. So if we go down the explanation till we get to, I think it's the eighth line. However, Pali has a few compounds in which the first element is a participle. And so we have dita pubo, which dita means seen, and pubo is in the past, previously. So dita pubo will refer to a person who has been seen before, one who is seen before. Katapunyo is from kata, which means done, and punya is merit. So katapunyo is one who has done merit. Okay, some other examples that they give. A lot of them are done with katta. So we have katabarado, one who has done a crime, one who has done some transgression. And then katakalyano, I think the accents are missing. There should be a long A, A, and the N should have a dot under it. Katta kalyano means katta is done. Kalyana means good. So katta kalyano is one who has done good. Is it hard? Oh, yeah, this is what I was looking for. This is in the description of a skilled archer. He's called Katta Hatta, which means literally done hand. But it means one who is experienced, one who has used his hands in learning a particular craft. So we have four. These are four archers who have learned to use the bow, who are very skilled, who are, you say, experienced, and kat upasana, who have done training, done exercise, and they might be standing in the four directions. Okay, any questions so far?
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask a question from the reading passage?
Yeah, yeah.
Going back to lesson 9.
Yeah. Tell me what page.
Page 121, lesson 9, paragraph 1.
Okay.
It's like a, in the middle, like a katamebika paragraph.
Yeah.
You go a little further, there's a, would you explain a little more about the tani, ah, no, here. Sutte otare tabani, vinaye sandase tabani.
Yeah.
Now, it's otare tabani, sandase tabani. Is it a verb here, or the use of ni in there?
The use of what?
Ni at the end.
Ani. Is ani is the end.
Ota ani?
Yeah.
Is it
otare tabani? Sandase tabani. Got it?
Hmm? The A and the I. Oh, right,
present,
right.
Present, passive, partisan.
How? It's hard to understand. Sutte, is it verb here? Is it because tani? Is it the ending is otare tabani? Or
okay, let's take the passage. Okay, so a monk comes along saying that he's heard such and such, learned it from the Buddha, right?
Yes.
Okay, so then the advice is that the statement of that monk should not be welcomed. It's abhinna neva abhinandi taba. Nor should it be rejected. Nupati kosi tabbang. So then, anabhinandita apati kosi va. Not welcoming it, not rejecting it.
Right.
Tani pada pyanjanani sadukang ugahetva. So having learned well those words and phrases.
Right. Then after that,
yeah. Okay. Sute otari tabani, vinaye sandase tabani. So these are two optative participles, future participles, and they're both causative. So those words and phrases, it's literally, they should be put down into the sutta. And they should be searched, we could say, demonstrated in, or they should be shown in the Vinaya. So this is a very literal translation. They should be put down, dropped down into the sutta, or they should be, and they should be pointed out or shown in the Vinaya. That is, in order to prove that these statements that are coming from the monk are actually spoken by the Buddha, I think we have to translate this a little freely and say that they should be checked for in the sutta, and they should be pointed out or demonstrated in the Vinaya.
So, I'm confused because I somehow thought this was a present, the word present participle, but their future.
No, first we have otari tabani. That is the.
I'm in the wrong sentence.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm in the next sentence. Sorry.
Yeah. So. Otari tabani and sandaseti tabani. Those are
future
passive participles or optative participles, and they are causative forms because we could see this from the long A and the E. Otare tabani. Sandase tabani.
So the ending, is it neuter?
It's neuter plural.
Neuter plural.
Because it's going with pada byanjanani.
Okay. Oh.
And then what comes in the next sentence, tani che sute otariya manani vinaye sandasya manani. So when those are being dropped into the sutta and are being demonstrated or pointed out in the discipline, then we have the regular forms. If those do not enter into the sutta and are not seen in the Vinaya, there we have otaranti is the regular finite verb, and indicative verb sandhisanti is the passive. They are not seen in the discipline. Nitam eta gantabam. The conclusion here should be gone to, or should be reached. In other words, one should draw the conclusion about this. Surely this is not the word of the Blessed One. Do you see now?
Yes, Pandit. So I want to just make sure. Otariya manani is the present participle. Manan is the present participle, right? Mana.
Yeah. Otariya manani.
Mana. Now, so present participle also changes according to the numbers and the.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So manani is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neuter, plural,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The present participle, though it's based on a verb, but it undergoes the declension to agree with the noun that it's describing.
That's what I wanted to mention. Yeah. Thank you.
And so this is otariya manani, sandasya manani. Those two present participles are describing tani.
Yes.
And tani represents pada byanjanani. Those words and expressions. Okay. Thank you. Any further questions? You've really gone over the hump in learning Pali grammar now. Now it's just coming down into.
Pretty bad.
Sinking down.
Yeah, sort of like
sand.
Like 2 years ago when you started, there was like big mountain range ahead, and you were going up, 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 up. Now you've gone over the peak of the mountain, and you're. Just come down. Now you just have to get familiar with doing more reading. And then it'll come quite naturally. Okay, so now, let's see, today is the 11th. So next Monday there's no class because there's a meditation retreat. But then I don't want to give the class the Monday right after the retreat, because then some people will say, oh, I didn't have any time to study. So we can have the class on the Tuesday, 26th. However, my advice to the people here, don't think, oh, this cup. We don't have a class next Monday. The test isn't till 2 weeks, so I don't have to study the Pali till the Monday before the test. But start doing the study this week, so you get familiar with it. Then, on Monday, that's on May 25th, you just have to do a quick review. Because you've studied, then you really know it already. Are you listening? Ding-da-dong.
Ding-da-dong.
And the test will be on the entire lesson 9?
Oh, let me see what to give the test on. Usually I've been giving on the further readings, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, we do further readings 9. Number 1. And number 2. Then we can take the basic readings that's at the beginning of the lesson. The first one, actually, that's a bit difficult. So we'll pass that. We'll take section 2. And section 3, the verses.
One page?
Yeah.
Can I repeat that back with them cutting out? So did you say in lesson 9, further readings number 2, part 2, and beginning readings parts 2 and 3?
I said further readings 1 and 2.
Okay, thank you.
And initial readings 2 and 3. Okay, I think we have to stop now.
Okay, you cut out again. I'm sorry, you cut out again. So you said further readings, part 1 and 2, and initial readings, part 2 and 3. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Bonte?
Yeah.
Bonte, how about chapter 10? Are we skipping it?
Usually I give one. I've been testing on one chapter. I don't remember how I've been doing it.
Yeah, that would be the next step.
The next test would be.
Yeah, that would be for the next class.
Okay, thank you.
Nice try.
Because you used to do it all together.
What is that?
You used to do 2 chapters at once.
Did I? Did I do 2 chapters at once?
But this is better, Bonte. This is better.
So maybe I should put lesson 9 also include the first passage, even though I know that some words in there, scholars are still debating how to understand them. These 2 words, otari tabani and sundase tabani, there's a lot of uncertainty what they mean in this context. So I'm not going to hold anybody responsible for not getting those exactly right. But the rest you should go through. So take initial readings 1, 2, and 3. Okay, so we end with the bows, 3 bows to the Buddha.